So, three new people at this end, and they are?
Alyssa.
Lorraine.
And the infamous?
Nicole.
From Oahu.
Yeah.
She's a friend of Gina, by the way.
Yes.
You're a friend of Gina, or you just know her?
I'm a friend of Gina. We're getting to know each other. We just met recently.
Mm-hmm. You're one of those Chinese acupuncture sort of people?
No, I'm a special education.
You're what?
A special education teacher.
Another one.
Yeah, that's Switzerland. Another special education teacher. Okay, you ready, Karen?
I'm ready. You want me?
Yeah, sure. We might as well just... What I've gotten in the habit of doing is just talking directly to Karen, because we had so much cross-talking, and people have a tendency to not say anything unless they want to debate. And I didn't want to debate everything that we're talking about. This has been, we've been doing this for too many years to debate everything. So, a couple of weeks ago I said, that's enough of that, and I talked directly to Karen. However, anything you have to say, you're welcome to interrupt and jump right in. I don't really care if you interrupt me, because if you're talking, I may interrupt you. And anybody on the phone can do that. I only have one caveat. You must stay on the subject. Don't interrupt to change the subject. Everybody remember that? Andrew?
Yeah, I do. Yes, I do.
Okay. So, let's start with Patrick, I guess, before I talk to Karen. Do you want to say anything about last week at all, Patrick?
Yes. It was really tremendous to be introduced to myself as Gabriel. Put a whole new frame of reference, a whole new identity that I always thought I had to prepare for. But here you showed me how it can be and is right now. No preparing, no trying to get there. That's a direct, right now identity.
Okay, fine. Now we're going to go on from there. You ready, Karen?
Yep.
Since, as Einstein declared, you only know things relative to yourself, therefore, if you don't know yourself, you don't know anything. Then in this, you are not thinking and knowing things or minding. You are selfing. Is that okay?
Yeah, I'm okay with that.
In other words, all we talk about is consciousness and mind and minding and infinite mind and finite mind and etc. In fact, since everything is only relative to yourself, you are not thinking, you're minding. I mean, you're selfing. You're not minding. You're selfing. Consciousness for you doesn't exist. Self does exist. Okay?
So even if I'm talking, I'm making plans to take care of a little kid, and it's all about the little kid and all their needs and stuff, I'm still selfing?
You're selfing. Because like in ancient times, or even before this, if you're languaging, when you think, you're really only thinking, unless you're creating images, and we'll get into that, you're only thinking language, and in language all you're doing is moving words around. And you consider that everything you're doing in your life today, you're only moving yourself around. and you're only thinking of and about yourself. You're only thinking relative to yourself. You're really only selfing. Is that okay?
Roger, I can't hear anything now. You're just, it's all coming out garbled.
Oh. Engineer? Is it okay in there, as far as you know?
There.
Did that
sound? Now you're clear.
Yeah, it's clear in Honolulu.
Were you getting any of that, Andrew, the crazy?
Not at all. It was perfectly clear.
Oh.
So it must be the satellite to Canada.
Yeah.
You guys put up those 10-cent satellites, you know.
We bought them at surplus.
Okay, so what didn't you hear? Tell me everything you didn't hear. Well, how do I know where to go if you can't tell me what you didn't hear?
You were just telling me about, well, I asked you about the kid, and you said that that's all, you know, it's all moving words around in language.
Yeah, but in fact, no matter what you're talking about the kids, you're talking about yourself relative to doing that or not doing that or understanding that. This gets more involved and actually gets you to understanding a lot of things that we've talked about in a whole different way. You are not thinking, you are selfing. There is not a self that is thinking. The self is selfing itself. That gets a little weird, like I told Nicole on the phone, we'll talk about some things you probably never ever heard of before. She thought I was crapping with her. Okay.
And the I you speak about is I, Simone.
What?
The I you speak about, you said I am selfing. The I is Simone, is selfing?
Well, allow me for the moment to say self. The I that is self is selfing. Okay, don't get screwed up with
okay.
Buddha. Don't get screwed up with Buddhism that says self doesn't exist. Don't get screwed up with people who call self ego and then tell you to get rid of self as ego. Don't try to be selfless, because you can't do or think of anything in your life that isn't relative to yourself. If you decide to be selfless, you're only choosing to be selfless because you think it's in your own self-best interest to be selfless. Oh, I thought somebody came in.
Nope. Just showing them that there's tea.
Okay, we got a slow start, but we're getting there. Since everything is data, information, mind, infinite mind and finite mind and minding seem appropriate concepts, appropriate for everything else. But those concepts of mind and minding are not for you. Is that okay?
I don't understand that at all.
You remember last weekend that we talked about, as far as the universe is concerned, we can talk about single-mindedness?
Yes.
But for you, you as a sentient being, the same word that would apply would be self-mindedness.
That it's happening again, just that last sentence. Garbled a bit.
Oh, okay. Well, did it garble over in Honolulu? Andrew?
No, it did not. No, it did not. We're all good.
It must be the sunspot.
Sunspot. I didn't think there was a sunny spot in Canada, is there? Do they
have my goodness, it's been so sunny.
Is it really?
95 degrees today.
Oh, we didn't have that kind of
heat.
Okay, let's go back. Let's go back to where we were. If everything is data information mind, just allow that for the minute. Data information mind is different than, like, saying all things are mind. It's a particular form and nature of mind. Then minding, as we've always used it in the universe, seems appropriate, does it not?
Yeah.
And then I'm asking, well, okay, but for you, and there's reasons for this, would you be willing to substitute the concept of selfing in your concept of yourself and what you are doing? Would you be willing to substitute the word selfing rather than thinking?
Yes.
Because that's what you're doing. You're thinking relative to self. So for you, or all sentient beings with a self, are actually selfing.
Yes. And are you saying that selfing is a better word, better description of what's going on than merely thinking?
The reason we're changing the word is because mind and minding have been so confused in that regard that we don't really know what we're talking about. Nobody has an idea of what consciousness is. Is that okay?
Okay.
But if I talk to you about selfness instead of consciousness, do we have something to talk about?
Yes.
Ness means the nature of. So consciousness for you is selfness, which we can then talk about as the nature of self.
Mm-hmm.
Is this okay?
Yeah, well, selfness it seems we're talking about me. It seems very clear what we're talking about. Whereas consciousness is a bit vague. I'm not really quite clear what is consciousness and what isn't.
That's right, but relative to you, you certainly could talk to me or participate in a conversation about selfness, could you not?
Yeah.
See how automatically we're changing the word only so that you have a way to be able to discuss or know or understand what you're doing in life. Let me ask you a question. What is memory? By the way, for you folks, there is in fact memory why. And memories, what we normally call memory is really memories. We have memories of yesterday and the day before. Memory is long term, I mean really long, eternal term. Now, can you tell me what memory is?
Probably not, but I could try.
Well, let me ask you a question. If I change the word or change the focus and understanding of what you're doing, could you talk about past selfings?
Oh.
Because memory is only past events, past thoughts, past ideas, past concepts in mind. So memory and memories as well are merely previous selfings.
Well, I would have said that memory was the recording of past events and stuff. It's not the events themselves.
It's the selfing, it is the, when you talk about an experience or yesterday, you're thinking, you're talking only about what you did yesterday or what happened to you yesterday. There is no memory of what happened in Ukraine yesterday for you.
Right, okay.
Every memory that you have about yesterday is about yourself, one way or another. It's a selfing.
All right. Yeah.
Now that's important in the long run, and maybe we'll get there, maybe we won't. Who knows? We okay with that?
Yeah.
So you can accept.
Do you.
Go for it.
Sorry, do you include past lives too?
Essentially, past lives are previous selfings. Are they not?
Okay, yes.
Sure. See, now.
They are.
So now all of a sudden, and we talk about memory and events and experiences and all of these things about mind and minding, and then we talk about braining. What is it? I'll tell you right now, nobody can tell you what minding is either. Does minding precede the brain, or is minding in that the outcome of the brain? You see what I'm talking about?
I think so. It's a bit of a chicken and egg question, isn't it?
Okay. But then in that, what is finite mind? What is infinite mind? What is divine mind? Got any responses to that?
First, it all sounds pretty hard to define.
It's not only hard to define, you don't have any idea what any of that is, and you can't talk about it. What if I talk about finite self, selfing, eternal or infinite selfing, or divine selfing? Can you see yourself in that way? Can you think of yourself in that way?
I think so, yeah.
And in doing that, you can begin to tell me the sense you have in your body when you are, let's say, in a process of infinite selfing. Could you not?
Uh-huh.
But if you talk about infinite mind, that's something else out there. Has nothing to, no real thing to do with you. Infinite selfing brings it all back to you. Is that okay?
Yes, I can see that.
And so then you can talk to me in that way about yourself. Is it possible then that you could experience yourself? If we talk about and discuss infinite minding, you don't know what the hell that means. But if we talk about infinite selfing, could you not then create an image or a picture of your infinite selfing and sense and feel infinite selfing as you're doing it?
Yes, I think so.
If we talk, let me talk about this. What is going to happen to you after death? Do you have any idea? Oh, by the way, you all are welcome to jump right in.
Okay.
Or not.
I'm just listening.
What do you think is going to happen to you after death?
I know.
You're going to go back to the spirit.
I didn't hear you.
You're going to go back to the spirit.
What is spirit? You see where we're trapped in this? everybody uses it like everybody uses the word love, but then anybody can tell you what it is. So we use mind and nobody knows what it is. You use spirit. And I'll tell you, I'll ask you right now, would you mind telling me what spirit means? Oprah says you are a spiritual being having a physical experience. What the hell does she mean? Do you know? What is an embodied spirit?
Aren't we, that we're inside the body, that the spirit is inside the body, but it's ready to, when it's released, it contains all of our memories.
But religion also says the mind of man cannot conceive of spirit. So, if you're going to talk spirit to me, which is fine, let's talk about it. You've made your statement, now let's talk about it. How? Talk to me about spirit.
It's always connected to God. It's always connected to the universal source.
I have trouble hearing even across here.
It's always connected to God and to the universal source.
Wait, stop. You're not telling me anything about spirit. You're talking about its connected to... Now we've changed the subject. I want to know what spirit is.
A light body.
Huh?
A light body.
Well, now you've changed it from spirit to light body.
I don't know.
Thank you. That's exactly what I wanted to hear. You don't know, and nor does anyone else know. You know, if we write. Do you know how many books are written about love, and there isn't a book out there? They just sell the book. They don't tell you what they're talking about. But we're all supposed to know what love is. We're all supposed to know what spirit is. It gives us nothing to know, nothing to feel. What if, instead of talking about spirit, that self that you feel inside of you is self? Because I'm going to ask you, are you your body? That's on page 2, I think. And I'm going to come back to Nicole. You would say, no, you're not your body, because you sense yourself as something in a body. Presumption?
Mm-hmm.
So I want to know what that something is, because that seems most important. And everybody has said, that's your spirit. But nobody will tell you what your spirit is. Or what spirit is. But that's okay. By the way, whoever said there was a God?
Whoever said there wasn't.
If I'm pissing you all off, we made up God in the first place. Is there any proof that there is God, or did we just make up a God? And then after we have made up a God, we have made up God, excuse me, made up God, does it matter? Chickens out there?
Mm-hmm.
Huh?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. That's all. They may fly up in a tree, so don't get excited. Chickens do that. And the rooster crows. You with me there, Karen?
Yeah, I'm here.
So true. What I'm trying to do is to change the language to a way or point in which we can now talk seriously to each other rather than talk about spiritual we don't know or God. I'm not saying there's not a God. I'm just saying religion and everybody says, well, yeah, but we don't know what that is. And I'm saying if we change just the concept a minute, the focus of what you're doing in your life changes dramatically and you can begin knowing and understanding yourself. By the way, you don't understand what I'm about to say. I have no interest in your everyday life today. I'm only interested in your eternal self and life. And that to me is what is important. So what I'm talking about here is how we can begin to see and know and understand that aspect of ourselves. Okay, you still with me, Karen?
I'm here.
So, after death, what happens? Do you know?
I don't know.
Okay, let's suppose and we say, as Nicole was starting to say there, you come alive as a light being. What is that?
Okay.
What if we say you come alive in memory? What is that?
Yeah.
Now, if your life is about selfing, can we talk about coming alive in self?
After death.
Yes.
Coming alive in self. That makes my picture of self very big.
That's right. And if we and you see, when we say you come alive in memory or in memories or data and information, or you come alive as a light being, that doesn't mean anything. But if we relate this to coming alive as in self, then all your memories that you are, or all your selfings that you are creating today, is the self you will come alive in.
Yes.
And you will then, in that then, be able to see and know yourself as a particular universal being, huh? All those selfings.
Mm-hmm.
You understand that?
I think so.
Okay, well, we'll get, over the weeks, we'll talk more about some of this. This is, for a beginning in terms of the selfing. So, we have said that the worldly universe, all things in the worldly universe are data information mind. Is it possible, following Einstein's awareness in this, that everything, you know everything only relative to yourself, that all things in the universe are for you only data information self?
Yeah.
So, all things are to you as yourself is to you.
Can you talk more about that?
Well, we've always said that everything out there is just you, and we don't know what that means. It is as you perceive it to be, but we don't know what any of that means. Is that okay? We've used those terms, and as everybody else, we've adapted them from use all around. But we don't know what it means.
Yeah.
If everything is self, which it is, by the way, then do I have? Can I get an image of yourself by what you're saying?
If everything is me, it's can I say everything is myself?
Yes. Or it is self. It's selfing.
Yeah. So then every time I speak, you are hearing my description of the universe.
Now I'm hearing your description of you.
Yes. Which is everything is myself, right? Or everything is self. So the universe is me.
So, if your purpose in life, let's say, borrowed from all sorts of people, is to discover yourself, or to know yourself, or to be yourself, and live yourself. What the hell does that mean?
You can't not do that.
So that doesn't help me. What does that mean? See, you have thought up to now that you were a being or a self that is doing something. What if you are a being or a self merely selfing? What?
Isn't that the same thing? Like, if I'm a being doing something, I'm a being selfing. Are they different?
You tell me. You're doing yourself. You see,
yeah,
if
myself.
You are, that's right, but doing something, for instance, is not reliable information. I know what you're doing, but I don't know who you are. If you are a being selfing, then what you do is who you are.
Yes.
So.
I follow.
So, you're thinking in terms of minding something, minding and doing and actioning and feeling and etc., no matter what I would say about you from what you do, I don't know you. Is that okay?
Okay, yeah.
You sure that's okay?
Then
you can't know yourself. If you're a something doing, you can't know yourself.
I agree. I understand.
And the problem with that is that that's the structure of language. Something unknown, unknowingly doing something. And in that regard, even if I look at the consequences of your doing, I still don't know you or who the subject is in language. I don't really, really, really know who or what you are, do I?
No, you don't. No.
Neither do you.
No.
But if every action is you, every action is self, then you can know yourself, can you not?
Yeah, so in the structure of language, I'm thinking I'm imagining that I'm a self and everything else isn't.
But you're a self doing something. That's the structure of language. Subject, action, verb, and then the predicate or the consequences of the action. So, therefore, in order in language, the way we're talking about all of this so long is you do something and then wait for consequences to judge the consequences to try and know the self. If the subject acting is the self being portrayed, we don't have to wait for consequences, and there's no judgments in that.
Yeah.
Is that okay?
That is okay, yeah.
We never, never, never judge an action. We only judge the presumed or known consequences of the action.
Yep.
But if I can know you as the action, I never have to judge you. If I can see you and understand you as the action per se, then I never have to judge you.
Yeah.
And that means then that cause and effect doesn't exist.
Mm-hmm.
I don't need to have an effect in order to know you.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, okay.
Is that okay?
Hmm. Yeah, it is.
So then can we say, let's put it this way, can we then say your life is about selfing? It's not about what you do, how you do, or judging, or trying to discover and know yourself. It's about selfing. And I can know you, and you can know you by every action or every thought and action of selfing.
Yes.
Okay, if that's true, then in our conversation, then we won't speak of finite mind. We won't speak of infinite mind. It doesn't mean anything. We won't speak of divine mind. We won't even speak of consciousness or minding. We'll only speak of self, infinite self,
yes.
Finite self, and selfness itself.
Yeah.
Is that okay?
That is okay, yeah.
So, back to Nicole. Okay, Nicole, are you your body, yes or no?
No. I can tell you what Deepak Chopra
said. I'm listening.
Deepak Chopra said, what I just recently heard, he says, you are, because if you think of the unit, we are our body. Instead of trying to keep thinking, this is my body, and this is my foot, instead of doing that, you say, I am my foot, I am my body, I am my, and then you become more unified as the foot.
Let me ask you a question. If your body is sick, are you?
Yeah.
Are you?
Yeah.
If your body is pain, are you pain? See, what I'm trying to do is to get you off of thinking that way. Can you, in your life, can your body be sick and you not be sick? We'll get into why that's important here a little later on. But Deepak knoweth not of what he speaks. I'll tell you, I've read everything that Deepak has ever written, as far as I've heard his tapes, I've heard everything. And I, across the board, disagree with Deepak in most stuff. But, that's okay.
It's okay.
Do you, I don't care what Deepak says, I'm asking you. Do you feel or sense that you are your body? Or that there is a you that is in a body?
I don't know. When I'm in the present moment, when I look at my hands and I'm in the present moment, I don't feel disconnected. I don't feel that I'm separate from my body.
You can't live in the moment. So, okay.
Live
in the moment, so it's a non-issue. Are you willing to accept that you only live in the past?
No.
Are you willing to accept that all things in the universe are only exist in the past?
No.
Hmm?
No.
Well, let me ask you a question. If they exist, they're in the past of their becoming. They have already become. Become means past. Everything in the universe that is past.
So then time is...
What?
Time is not an illusion, and there is no now, is what you're saying. There is no now. There is no moment of now.
Well, I don't want to get into a real long discussion of time, but... Yeah. Time is a real problem here. We think in time as a progression. And what I'm trying to do here, like, is even change the way we think, much less what we think about. Because having thought that time is a progression, then we succumb to that progression of past, present, and future. You okay?
Right.
And then old Hoosamajigger, the Canadian guy, what's his...
Eckhart Tolle?
Yeah.
He's English, isn't he?
He's what?
I thought he was English.
No, he lives in Canada.
Oh.
We blame all the stuff on Canadians. You're still there, Karen?
I am, and I can take it.
Well, I wasn't talking about you. I was talking about you. Your Canadian friend, the guy that wrote Conversations with God, he was a Canadian too.
Yeah.
Yeah. What was his name?
Neil Donald Walsh.
Huh?
Neil Donald Walsh.
Yeah. And then I guess he's living in California now or somewhere down there. I don't know. Canadians get these weird ideas about life.
We got Gabor Mate too. Do you know him?
There, you have a... I talked about him before on Vancouver Island. You have a healer there, a young kid that's a healer that's written a couple of books. He's a... And all they do is repeat the same crap over again. Deepak, to me, has never had anything decent to say since quantum healing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, that's my opinion. But where were we?
The body.
The body. Are you your body? Let me ask you a question. If you are your body, what happens when your body dies? Didn't Deepak take that up?
No.
If I'm my body, then when my body dies, I'm goner. And like I said, while I'm sitting at the table here while we're talking about these things, I'm not interested in your life today for a lot of reasons, and I'm interested in your not being a goner. If I can rip you away from your body, we can begin to talk sense. Is that okay with you, Karen? Can I get you the hell out of your body? She's one of these healer folks.
Absolutely.
Too. You what?
Absolutely. I am for it. Get me out of my body.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
Wait a minute. Okay. Let's go there while we're here. I didn't want to go here yet, but. Are you willing so think deeply about this when you think about Deepak. I'm sure he didn't bring this up. Did your parents make your body?
Yes.
No.
If your parents made your body, which apparently they did, and we can trace the DNA of your body through all of the ancestors of your parents, they made your body and loaned it to you so that you could come alive in this lifetime having a body. But your body then belongs to them, it not belong to you. It reveals and portrays your parents, not you. The DNA of your body is the DNA of your parents, not you. The weakness and failures and problems and illnesses of your body are your parents, not you. The talents and abilities you think you have, because boy, I can just paint like mad, are talents of your parents, not of you. My question is, how long are you going to live a loner body that doesn't even belong to you? And can we then say the weakness and hurts and pains and problems of my body are the weakness and hurts and pains and problems of my parents, not me? And is it possible then that you can regenerate your lunar body to be the body that portrays you accurately? The answer is yes. Because when your parents have then provided you with a body, they provided you with a brain. But you're not thinking with your brain, you're thinking with their loner brain. And if your emotions are hardwired into your brain, your emotions are not even yours either. But we continue living thinking that, well, this is the body I got, I'm stuck with it. Or, like Deepak, trying to convince you that it's you, when it's not. Are you, and when in your life might you... Wait a minute. Is it possible that when JC, you know him guy?
Yeah, right
on. Huh?
Yeah, of course.
Jesus.
Of course.
When Jesus talked to Nicodemus, I think he said, you've been born of water, now you have to be born of spirit. But spirit is only self. What if I translate that differently and say, you've been born of water, of woman, of mother, now you have to be born of self. Would you like to reborn your body? Your mind, your thinking, your memories, your beliefs, your understandings that you've been struggling with for 39 years, 60 years. Would you like to, when we talk about being born again, would you like to regenerate the body you've been living up to now to be the body, self, and life you truly desire? Because we have an article out that shows you how you can do that with your body. And even if you then come back and you say, you look pretty much like you did, I saw you 20 years ago and you look like that and you still do. But if you regenerate your body, you're a whole different person inside that body. Are you willing to do that? That's the true meaning of being born again. You regenerate the body, and what we talk about is come alive gifts. Your parents gave you the come alive gifts of a body, self, memories. It's like a starter package to get you going. And from that starter package, then you're able to then regenerate the beliefs and memories and ideas and concepts and everything that you truly desire. And is it possible, if you haven't done that, that everything you do in your life, you're doing as a loner person, but you also have a sense that that ain't you? And if that conflict of what you're doing, which seems so natural and right, isn't you, there is a certain level of conflict that goes through, is constantly in your life. The question is, would you like to get rid of that underlying constant level of anxiety or doubt about yourself? Most people would say, yeah. Is that okay?
Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about here.
Right.
So I will take, you bring me Deepak and I'll take him on.
Okay.
I'd love to take him on. So that's where we are here, in this, talking about some of these things. So, what I want to talk about is the self that lives in the body. Okay?
Yeah.
Because the self that came with the loner body, that wasn't you either. The self that came with the loner body is, in a sense, best described through DNA. It's your parent's self. It's a self of your parent that loaned you, and you've been living your parents' self and body all these years. Is that okay with you, Karen?
Yeah.
If I call you by name, you'll answer. What was your name?
Alyssa.
You'll answer. Okay? But that ain't you. But this, and if I call you that, in a sense you say, well, that's me. But isn't there a sense that that's a little strange, that isn't you? That's the name of your body, not you. That is the name of your body, not self. And so my question is, doesn't it seem that you're really not the name that you're called? You're not the person that answers to that. And is it possible you only answer out of habit? Karen?
Yeah.
Habit.
Yeah.
And the point of all of this is, I know there is a sort of an under thing there that says, well, maybe I'm not really Roger or Alyssa or Nicole. Then the question is, well, then who the hell are you? And so selfing is a way, or beginning way, to then begin knowing and understanding who you are. My question to you, the question that comes up back here, where is it? I don't know. Oh, wrong page. Here's the page. Here is an important question. Let me ask you this. Oh, hey, Nicole, I'm going to ask you this question. You have to stop writing long enough to answer the question. If you could be happy for a lifetime, or truly experience your being eternal, which do you suppose you would choose?
Is that a trick question?
What? I didn't hear you.
So is that a trick question?
It's not a trick question. Hell, here's somebody that I've never met, and she's asking me right off, you guys. Is that a trick question?
Just
pick one.
I've been accused of trick questions for years. No, it's a straight up question.
Eternal.
What? Do you see then, from that, the selfing of what that tells me? You want to give me an answer?
I'm the happy one.
You would choose that over being experiencing eternal.
Yeah, because I'm right here on Earth right now, and that's what I want to be, is happy.
But then, somewhere when you get even close to my age, I'm a lot older than you are. When you get close to my age, you stop and think about, then what? So, the question, are you there still, Karen?
Yep.
Does it seem to you that you are your body, or that if I call you Karen, that you are not really Karen, maybe?
I think I'm not really Karen. I'm using Karen.
Oh, okay. Religion says that you feel, well, you know, yeah, you're not really Karen. That's because you are a spirit, or an embodied spirit, or you are really spiritual. And if I talk to Nicole here about being physical and spiritual, she'd say, yeah, I understand that. But I say, well, what did I talk about? She'd say, I have no idea what you just said. But if I talk to her about self and physical, or self and body, I think we can get to some real conversations and understanding. And so, when we talk about spirit, that thing inside of me, you can't know anything about that. Religion, in a sense, and because of the nature of the word spirit, you can't know that. How are your clients? Do they have that problem? I'm now talking to Karen.
Oh, that, okay, that which, so define the problem again.
Well, I'm asking you, do your clients still constantly use self and spirit, or body and spirit, body and soul?
A lot of them do, yeah.
And do you question as to what that's all about, or do you give a darn?
Sometimes I do, sometimes I don't.
Okay. My question is, are you not interested in what or who they are and what their life is all about?
Yes, I am.
Why?
I'm not sure why. That's a good question. I am thinking that maybe it's the more I know about them, the more I know about me.
No, you're the professional, and you're talking to a client now. Is that, tell these folks what you do.
Oh, I'm a massage therapist.
You're what, did you say?
A massage therapist.
Oh, I thought you said something else. Okay. Now, let me ask you a question. Well, I'll ask Nicole. I'll just keep her interested, because she'll probably, I don't ever go back there again. I'll ask Nicole while I got her. If Nicole says, yeah, I'm not my body, there is a me in my body. I don't need to talk to you because you think you're your body. So when you die, that's the end of you. Sayonara, goodbye. Okay. Kiss Deepak on the way.
I'm going to regenerate my body. I'm going to regenerate my body and take my body with me.
How would you do that?
I don't know.
Okay. We're back to you. Where was I anyway? I forgot where I was. Oh, I know what it was. Okay, here we go. If you, Nicole, are... If you and your body are separate and different, regardless of what we call them, is that okay? If you are sick and I fix your body, have I fixed you? You know, that's about the same as if I'm sick, go heal my neighbor. Because that's not me either. I might as well go over there. So, if I'm sick...
Ultimately, no.
Huh?
No.
That's right. So if you're a healer, or you go to a healer, and a healer, then in that regard, heals your body, that's not you. Is this okay?
Mm-hmm.
It is you. So, as in what Karen said, knowing more about you, these questions that I'm asking here is that then if I heal your body, I would also want to know you so that I can heal you as well. Is that okay?
Mm-hmm.
We're gonna. Is that okay with you, Karen?
Yes. Yes.
You're sure
Definitely.
Now? You're sure that's okay? Because
yep.
I'm going to turn that on its ear.
I'm sure you are.
Is that okay with you there, Simone? She's a massage therapist,
yes.
Too. Well, I'm going to turn that on its ear.
Okay. Waiting for it.
So, is it possible that if we can get away from all the judgments of religion and all the misunderstandings of philosophy, is it possible then that for us to say that your life is only about selfing the self you truly desire and that you are proud of?
Yes.
People don't do that.
We're not hearing anything, Karen.
I'm thinking. So.
No, you're selfing. Selfing. Is it possible that your life is only about selfing yourself in the as the self you truly desire and are proud of?
Yes, that is quite possible.
You going to take me to task for using proud of? Pride goeth before. No, no, not you. I meant I turned to Alicia here.
We need a camera.
Huh? If you become president or pope or a great scientist, will you really be satisfied and fulfilled? Pavarotti wasn't. John Paul wasn't. I can name an awful lot of people who got everything they went for and got nothing they truly desired. So, if you got to the highest perspective of all the acclaim or whatever you wanted in your life, is it likely that you would really be satisfied and fulfilled? Hey, my question is, do you know anybody that is rocking on satisfied and fulfilled? Oh, Alicia, I forgot about you. She's over here. But she only lives in a moment, so she's only satisfied and fulfilled in the moment. So, let me ask you a question. If, as I've said before, if you are sick or a problem, or your body is hurt, and you heal your body, then is it possible that you haven't healed yourself at all?
Yes, that's quite possible.
So, Miss Massage Therapist and all of your other little skills that you apply, then what is it that, then how is it then that you would be able to heal or cure or soothe or satisfy or smooth over the self that has no relationship to the body? And by the way, the sick body wasn't yours in the first place, it was your parents.
Yeah.
And the self that you're so dependent on isn't you, that's your parents as well. Blame the parents. I guess the question is, what are you going to be when you grow up? And what are you going to do? And how will you know yourself? And how will you know your life? And how will you know what it is that everything is that you're doing? And then you die. And then what? You got every scam played on us. As to, and then what? My question is, I guess, in all of this, is life for you only about doing things to stay alive and be happy? That's okay for you?
Yep.
Then you die, then what?
I have no idea.
Ah, okay. I came here from Alaska, and when I was in Alaska for 30 years. And one time before our gathering, we used to have big meetings around here, 9 days of intensive crap, 12 hours a day, etc. I found out from a friend who at a meeting that five of my business associates, people that I knew personally and business-wise, all millionaires, they all had everything you could ever want. You know, when you're a teenager, well, you know, a good-looking wife, bunch of kids, big house, lots of money, fame, name, and everything else, and all that. They got it all. Three of them had cancer. Two of them had heart problems, and two of them shot themselves. Is it possible that you follow this whole pattern of getting everything that you want or ask for and to never get anything you want? One of those guys was my partner. We could never talk about any of these things. He had the good-looking wife, the five kids, the big house, and lots of money. He was in 17 partnerships and corporations and all sorts of things. He died of cancer. Is it possible that cancer reveals something about the way and the manner in which you're living your life? What do you think, Karen?
Oh, yeah. I think that's possible.
Do you really think that that's possible?
Well, okay, I think it's possible that cancer reveals the way my body is living its life.
But you live your body.
And perhaps, well, depends on what we're talking about when we say you. Who are we talking to?
There is, let's just allow me a you, because we're not going to get to that point tonight. There is a you that lives your body. It's that sense of self in your body that operates that body. Is that okay? Deepak says that sense of you and your body are one, so that you just keep making everything work.
Mm-hmm.
Now, are you willing to say that the way you live your life, that the cancer reveals the way you are living your life, and the way you're living your life or minding yourself or whatever you're doing in your life, that is, let's call it for the moment, the cause of your cancer?
Can't prove it. It could be.
Yeah, that's possible.
Wait a minute. Okay, Alicia's got a different descent here.
It's possible, but you can't prove it. It could be, like you said, the genes, the DNA from your parents. It could be environmental factors, or it could be the mind-body connection, the self connection of what the person's doing. There's no way that you can really prove what's the cause of the cancer.
But if it's family, then you're living that, so that has an issue. If it's environmental factors, then you're living in that environment. That's what we're saying. And all of these things, then, that the cancer then reveals how you're living your life, and how you're living your life then is, let's say, not the only cause, but in terms of you, a major contributor to the cause. Is that okay?
Yes.
You'll allow me that?
I agree.
I disagree. You okay with that, Karen?
Yeah, I figured you would. I was waiting for that to come.
It wasn't a trick question. It's not a trick question. You see, what we're doing here is you guys, all of you guys, and all of us have been following these beliefs and understandings just because somebody wrote them down 3,000 years ago, and we're still doing it. Why? What if that's not true? Could we turn that if I turn that concept upside down for you, would you be willing to consider the possibility? You with me, Karen?
Yep, I am eagerly anticipating you turning that idea upside down.
Okay, well, let's start with this. Religion declares that all blessings come from God. Now, we're not going to turn God upside down. We're just going to turn this whole thing. Where am I here? And you cause yourself your own sins, problems, difficulties. That's the nature of religion, and to a great degree, spiritual concepts. Not saying whether it's good or bad, right or wrong, but let's look at that. If all the blessings come from God, or from Source, or from somewhere else, anywhere else, are the blessings reliable? What if we look at this from a different perspective and say all blessings come from self? Is that okay, Karen?
Yes, I like that.
If all blessings come from self, then you, and you don't have to use blessings. If you don't like the word, you can think of advantages, boons, good stuff, right stuff, living in the now, any stuff you want to call it. Is it reasonable for us to say then that all blessings, that you are the source of all blessings? Are you willing to accept that to some degree? And Nicole, are you willing to accept that? You are the source of all blessings in your life. Is that okay for you, Karen?
Yeah.
If that's true, and it seems to be that everybody said yes so far, is it possible then for me to say that if you are sick, you didn't cause the sickness, you withheld the blessings? Your blessings.
It's possible.
Is that okay?
Would that mean that being sick is the natural state of things and blessings are added on top of that?
Can we not say then that sickness occurs? That's okay. But blessings can be like for your body an immune system, an antibody. You, in withholding your blessings from yourself, the sickness shows, even in that regard, like my descriptionary, shows what blessings you've actually withheld from yourself in life.
Well, the sickness could be a blessing also.
That's the crappiest piece of crap that the religion has ever imposed on you. Because religion says as a beginning, life is suffering. It's learning and growing and developing and enduring lessons and trials and understanding. So, sickness is a blessing. Hogwash. When was the last time you said, boy, I'm glad I feel like hell? You okay with this, Karen?
Yep.
But is it possible then to say to yourself, wait a minute, I'm not causing all this stuff in my life in any way, but I am withholding my blessings, that, and then because of the illness, know what those blessings are or may be. What if we talk about problems? What if you didn't really cause the problems in your life, but you withheld the blessings that the problems would not have occurred? Does that give you a different look or take on yourself and life? And by the way, Jim, when you're listening to this, there's a fellow in Colorado that listens to it tomorrow because it's so late in Colorado. When you're listening to this, I'm talking about you. Didn't we spend 2 weeks talking about withholding? Huh? Okay. Back to Nicole, are you willing to look at your life as not what you're doing, and that you have to then do the right stuff? And the right stuff then is judged, but it merely demonstrates that you are withholding the blessings of self from yourself. Would you then take different actions or a different understanding of yourself, not of what you're doing wrong, but what it is you are withholding from yourself? And does that not then create not the religious sense that life is suffering and problems and difficulties, which we then try to meet or overcome or avoid? But what if we say life is really only blessings for you to choose and live? Does that change the nature of your attitude and actions in life?
Yes. A lot.
Hello, Karen, does that work for you?
Yep, it does work for me.
When you do that, would that give you a different picture and image of your clients?
Huh. I think so, yes.
Patrick, are you still on this phone?
No, he's out of the room for a moment.
Oh.
I can call him in. He's just in the kitchen. Here he comes.
Here he comes. Patrick, what I really want to know is, is it possible for you to begin, you won't understand this, so, is it possible for you to begin understanding that your problems and difficulties in life, you didn't, let's call it, cause that, and don't argue the cause versus emergent, but you withheld the blessings of Gabriel from you?
Absolutely, that's very clear to me.
And does that not change the whole concept of your relationship to life, relationship to self, relationship to body, relationship to others?
It turns everything upside down. Absolutely.
And yet when you live that, of course, then it becomes a struggle.
That's absolutely correct.
It's a struggle because you've got to transition from what judging what you're doing or trying to do things right to begin living Gabriel.
And the long-term habit of learning, becoming, making the right choices, judging to find the right choices. Those long-term habits are pretty sneaky, and it takes effort and effort and attention.
In that regard, my question to you is, would you ever want to live eternally other than what you are proud of? The self and life that you would live, would you ever want to live the self and life eternally other than what you are proud of?
It's inconceivable that I would want to do anything other than that which I was proud of.
My question then is where I ended up with Karen here last week or the week before is, If you actioned every action only as you are proud of, every day, every moment, everything you do, if you actioned only the actions you are proud of, not happy, not spiritual, not right, but only those things you are proud of, is it possible then that in that you could feel and sense yourself being eternal?
Yes, absolutely.
Do you understand what I'm saying there? they're 3 or 4 weeks into this.
Well, I don't sense myself. No, I don't feel that, because I can do it.
Wait.
That, but
you don't sense yourself what?
As, what was it you said again?
As eternal?
Eternal, right, no.
But you don't live the actions, or action the actions that you are proud of. I'm saying, asking him, if he did action only those things that he was proud of, is it possible then that he would feel or sense himself as an eternal being?
So, I mean, every action, 100%, every action that you do on this earth
is only an action you are proud of.
Every action. No, yeah.
You are proud of the action.
Proud of every action.
In other words, if you got pissed off, you might say, well, I'm not proud of... It's not the consequences you're dealing with, but the action. And it's based on, since you would not want to live, be and live eternally what you are not proud of. Therefore, if you lived every action today as you are proud of, isn't it possible to consider that you would feel and sense yourself being eternal?
Not if I'm going to the toilet.
I'm sorry, what?
If I go to the toilet and I have a great BM, so then I'm going to feel eternal. I'm proud that I have a great BM, so I'll feel
not
eternal.
Not in each instance.
Oh, okay.
But in the overall way and manner of your being and living, would you not begin, do you not sense that you could begin to feel yourself eternal?
Possibly.
That's good enough start for now. Can you, Patrick, I'm back to talking about you. Can you live as Gabriel?
Yes.
I doubt it.
Then ask me the question again, please. Could I live as Gabriel?
Yeah. Do you think you can live as Gabriel?
I am Gabriel.
Do you think you could live as Gabriel?
No. That would be always me trying to be something else.
So, that would always be you trying to cause the way of Gabriel, or cause yourself to be like Gabriel.
That's correct.
Is it possible that with Gabriel in mind, that if you only live those actions that you were truly proud of, that you would find, with Gabriel in mind, that you are as Gabriel?
Yes, that's entirely possible. Yes.
Is it possible for you to say that you are not any, or not, you can say that, that you are not an eternal being? There's no such thing. All your life you've not wanted to die, you wanted to be and live eternally. Is it possible for you to say, that ain't going to happen?
Yeah, that's entirely possible.
And be satisfied with that?
Yes.
Is it possible for you to say that is and is going to happen, and I will show you and be satisfied with that?
Yes.
Well, how come you said yes to both questions, and that wasn't a trick question?
Then you better ask me the second one again.
I said, right, let me give you an illustration. Is it possible for you to understand that there is no pathway through the forest? Just take that as a picture.
Yes. I can see that as a picture, yes.
But as you continue the same thing, the pathway through the forest appears.
Yes.
Is it possible then for you to say that there is no eternal self for you to be or become or walk along? However, as you do something continuously, etc., eternal self appears.
Yes. Yes.
In the same way, if you would not want to be an eternal being that you are not proud of, if you constantly and only live as you are, or action as you are proud of, that the path or the self appears.
That becomes, it appears.
Is it possible for you to say it the same way, that in constantly selfing self, the self appears as you have selfed it?
Yes, that's absolutely parallel.
Is it possible for you to say then that if yourself is only upon finite being in this lifetime, then the self that will appear will only be a finite self of this lifetime?
That's the path that will have been worn in, yes.
And if you self yourself as an eternal being will appear.
Yes.
I'm just using the example.
Yep.
Is it possible for you to self yourself as you truly desire?
I think so, yes.
I don't think so.
Well, what if, as I truly desire, is always and only taking action that I'm proud of?
That's a different issue then, because you can do that by always actioning the actions you are proud of, but you cannot then in this lifetime, action a consequence.
Correct.
If you try to action a consequence, you're then in a position of only trying to cause a consequence, and you will judge every action along the way, and judging your actions will not be what you are proud of.
And that's right, and that in the way you framed the question initially here, living as I truly desire is an objective, and that I would always be judging to see if that was moving me, or I thought it was moving me towards that objective.
And that's right. And the minute you do that, create an intention, or in that regard, or create a goal or a consequence to attain to, you lose.
Yep. Same old, same old. Or that path further.
Could you action as you are proud of without setting a consequence?
Oh, absolutely.
You could?
Yes.
So, you could take a VM or deal with a person without, in how you deal with a person as you are truly proud of, without judging the consequence of what may occur.
That's correct.
So you could live as you are proud of in that regard. If we say this is true, then are we not saying that you are living as an eternal being, or withholding your eternal self?
I think you better say that last bit again, please.
In all of these actions that I asked you about, can we not then say, like the forest, that you are living your eternal self or withholding your eternal self?
Yes.
if you only live the actions that you are proud of in that regard, is there any limitation of what you can do?
Oh, none whatsoever.
But if you live consequences and judgments, then you are limited to the right consequences and judgments.
I'm bound by them, yeah.
You're totally bound by those.
That's correct.
So, living only the actions you are proud of frees you.
Absolutely.
Living what you want or living consequences limits and destroys you.
It absolutely does.
Well, here is a nasty question. If you live to be happy, are you freeing yourself or destroying yourself?
I'm absolutely destroying myself.
Okay. In all of this that we talked about today, can you see the importance of selfing self in the actions that you are living, not the consequences of the action?
If you're speaking to me, yes, absolutely.
So, selfing self keeps you focused on knowing and understanding the actions that you are living or selfing.
Well, it does, and it's inconceivable to connect selfing to outcomes. It's inconceivable.
So, merely by then changing your minding or your thinking or your doing or your intentioning to selfing, we all of a sudden can keep you focused on what you truly desire.
Yes.
And memories...
Huh? And there's a young lady sitting across the table for you wondering why As You Truly Desire would fit there.
Oh, well, we don't want to go into all of that right now.
Okay.
You tell her.
No, it's okay. You're right. We shouldn't go into it right now.
Are you willing to then, from this moment on, think of yourself selfing?
Yes.
And sense and feel yourself selfing as opposed to thinking?
Very much so, yes.
If you are emotioning, are you selfing?
No.
What? I'm sorry, I didn't hear.
If I'm emotioning, am I selfing? Well, yes, I am.
So, if you are angry, then in saying there is, we won't say that there is a you that is angry. You are the anger itself.
Correct. That's what I'm selfing.
Is it possible then for you to say or understand that your anger is not causing any problems, physical problems or ailments in your life?
Yes, it's quite possible.
Is it possible then that the anger reveals the blessings you are withholding from yourself?
Aha, yes, that's true.
So, if I want to know you, I don't really want to know about the anger. I want to know the blessings that you are withholding from yourself.
And that's what I'm really pissed off about.
Let's assume that is true for the moment. Why might you be withholding your own blessings?
Amongst other things, I keep myself trapped within the structure of a cause and effect language.
Why?
Because I'm stuck in my loner body.
Thank you.
That much.
So, you understand that because your loner body, your parents, the history of your parents, the beliefs and thoughts of your parents are cause and effect. God gives you blessings, not you. You are the cause of your sins and problems. Regardless of whether you say they do or not believe in that, that's the history of your body.
That's correct.
If I know the ancestors of your body, which DNA tells me the ancestors of your body, those ancestors of your body, that's their way, that's their beliefs, and you're still living that.
Yep, that's correct.
Are you willing to say that's fine and dandy for chickens, but not for you?
Yeah!
That the universe wants chickens to keep being chickens and doing the chicken thing, but that's not good, right or what you want to do?
That's correct.
Are you willing to get out of the teachings of religion and philosophy that keeps you a chicken?
Yes, sir. That's explosive.
Are you willing to teach your Thursday group to stop being chicken?
Yes.
Hey, by the way, did you talk to them Thursday about Gabriel?
No, people were had out of town commitments. And so we didn't meet on Thursday.
Oh, okay. Well, okay, there we are. Let's leave it there. I can see then that selfing is going to have to be something that we're really going to have to get into.
I think it's really worth it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we'll do that. We'll get into selfing. Are you not, when, let me ask you this question, when you're actioning only the actions that you are proud of, are you not selfing?
Yes.
Sure.
Haven't you then set the whole basis of every action based on self?
Yes, of course.
What you are proud of. Is it possible then that that's only what life is about for you?
I think that's more than possible, Roger.
It's not about chickens. Okay. Now do you understand why I've turned everything around? If you understand that, why I can listen to what you're selfing and know you in that, or I can hear your dreams and read them and know you, your dreams are your selfings.
Yeah.
Is that okay?
That's okay. That's right. Correct.
Okay. Well, we'll quit for now.
Thank you.
So remember,
thank you.
You're not causing, you're withholding your blessings in life.
That's very interesting, yeah.
Okay, well then you guys got to think about that, and then next week come at me with 1,000 questions. That's fine.
Okay.
All right. Bye.
All
now.
Right.
Good night for now.
Bye. Thank you all.